I spend a lot of time on this program talking about getting outside and doing things, in whatever form that might be, because not everything works for everybody. In my case, it most often involves hunting and camping, though there are other activities as well, to include fishing, trapping, boating, and building my cabin. The experiences themselves are what counts, the reasons we are out there, with peripheral reasons as well, such as getting meat for the freezer or getting something built that will be used. But along the way, it's a common thing, for a lot of people anyway, to record what it was they did and how they did it, to be able to look back on the experience for any number of reasons. I know I certainly do that, in a number of ways. Those recorded experiences are important for personal types of posterity, to record and recall processes and results, or just simply for the memories to an individual. And this much is certain. We have more and easier ways to do that today than we've had in the past. With the technology available to us and the different forms of online media available to be able to share. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I've had a lot of things on my mind lately that maybe put this thought in my head about how we can and do record what we do when we're outside and why we might want to. A part of that was looking over my personal resolutions list, which this year I typed up, printed off, and taped in a notebook for reference throughout the year. I have different categories, and one category calls for writing and submitting 6 magazine articles and producing 6 paintings. The strong possibility is that those dozen items, if completed, will come from specific experiences I've had outdoors. We all have and cherish memories of what we do, and some of us, maybe a lot of us, have ways to help us with those memories. The earliest forms of this was simply storytelling, and it's something we all still do, and some folks are very talented. I'm going to do some name-dropping, even though the people I name might not hear their names. Mike Larson, the former PE teacher here in Dillingham, is a masterful storyteller. I love listening to Mike recount his fishing trips. Marty Gasper, now retired and a former teaching colleague, may have been the best storyteller I've ever been around, and I'm proud to say that I was a part of many of his stories from the 1990s. Dr. Powers here, in Dillingham, up at the hospital, spins a mighty good hunting yarn, and so does Robert Scott, the pastor of my church. It is a talent, and while there is often humor, there are also lessons to be learned, and efforts from people who really know how to share. Today, though, we have so many ways to record information and experiences. You have young kids showing how they do things via YouTube, they upload to the internet, and, yes, I'm thinking of you, Ty Colby. Before we had the internet and really cool types of cameras and such, people took the time to write down their experiences, and at a point, photography did become a part of it. Sometimes I'll share stuff on here and mention that the reason we know stuff is because it came from something someone had written down, such as knowing about the first Thanksgiving, because William Bradford kept a very detailed journal about the first years of the settlers we called the Pilgrims and their efforts to survive in a new land. Because he took the time to do that, we know what their daily lives were like and the experiences that they had. Another terrific example from yesteryear is Theodore Roosevelt. Most folks know he was the 26th president and that he was something of the father of modern conservation. But he was also a rabid hunter, a prolific author, and a voracious reader. I have read that he read as many as 5 books per day during his adult life. He wrote 18 books, ranging in subjects from foreign policy to military history to the importance of the national park system. Included in what he read, he was also an avid reader of poetry. Famous poet Robert Frost once said of Roosevelt that, "He was our kind. He quoted poetry to me. He knew poetry." Specific to something of what I'm talking about today, we know a lot about a very long safari he took to Africa because he wrote and published a book about it called African Game Trails. He lived very incredible experiences, and we know because he also took the time to record those experiences in a number of ways. Some of my earliest memories of not just realizing that there were magnificent experiences waiting to be had, but of being able to learn about the nuts and bolts that goes into having those experiences, came through the writings of a great many talented outdoor writers. I remember poring over my grandpa's Outdoor Life magazines when I was young to learn about faraway things like moose and bear hunting and fishing for pike. I remember writing to their fishing editor once, Jerry Gibbs, maybe some will remember his name, and asking how to get a job like that, where I got to be able to fish and get paid for it. I was maybe in third grade or so at the time when I wrote that. He actually wrote back and encouraged me to continue my education and to pursue classes that furthered what I wanted to do. He also was kind enough to give me a dose of reality in telling me that such jobs really aren't very common. Through the stories that fellows like him and Jim Carmichael and Patrick McManus, my love for the outdoors, and my desire to do more than I was able to in central Kansas grew by leaps and bounds. Sometimes the efforts of individuals to record their experiences serves a purpose beyond augmenting their memories. That's certainly true of the writers I mentioned. They got paid to share about their experiences. But the fact their bank accounts got a bump didn't make it any less valuable to me. When it was nothing but storytelling around a campfire, there was certainly a teaching aspect to it that others might hear and learn, and that's still true today. It's just that the format by which those stories are delivered has changed. I'm still plotting and scheming to get to Africa for the first time, though my efforts have been put on hold by COVID. I am very thankful for any number of people who have authored books and stories and videos that have been helpful to me in my planning and knowing what to expect and to minimize any mistakes I might make. One that comes to mind, as an example, is the author Ron Spomer, who has written extensively about trips to Africa he has taken. My own attempts to record things have largely been for my own benefit, to help me recall specific parts of experiences I've had outdoors. I take gobs of digital photos of every hunt and trip I go on. I keep telling myself that I'm going to get a decent camera someday and learn how to use it, but I haven't done that yet. Maybe that should be a New Year's resolution. Sometimes I write things down too. For example, it's not uncommon for me to keep a bird list on each hunting trip I go on. And as I've grown older, with my kids growing up, a lot of my efforts have been centered on them, with my photos of things they have done, and designed to help me remember really great times I've spent outdoors with them, as well as for their benefit someday down the line. There are other ways to augment memories of the time we spend outside. Sometimes it involves taxidermy, such as a fish on the wall, or a rug made from an animal harvested, or a set of antlers. I've dabbled a bit in painting from memories and places I've been outdoors, and I've drawn inspiration from others. I shared on here a number of years back about artists whose work I have found inspirational. At the top of that list for me is Philip Goodwin, who painted during the early 1900s. So many of his paintings remind me of my own times outdoors. And again, we've come so far this way. With regards to writing about what we experience, there are so many social media sources that allow us to share almost immediately, and the same is true for cameras and videos. A lot of times that stuff is just personal. Last spring, my daughter killed her first big game animal, an honest 8.5-foot brown bear that was forever old, to judge by the teeth. It's quickly become one of my fondest outdoor memories. Because it was just over a year ago, the memories are still fresh. But I have a lot of photos, too, of her smiling over her bear, and the hide is at the taxidermist now, getting turned into a rug. Of course, this isn't for everyone. I had one friend I used to go round and round with about this very thing. His perspective was, if you spend too much time trying to record something, you miss out on the actual event. And I can see the logic to that if you're not careful. Just because of those discussions, I'll occasionally check myself when I'm outdoors to make sure I'm not doing just that. Also, if you're going to do it, make it worthwhile. I have another friend that seems to want to take photos, but the photos always seem to be of small resolution, and thus it's hard to really see anything at all. If you have to squint and still can't figure it out, that's probably really not very helpful. I guess what I'm saying today is this. We often have specific reasons for the times we are outdoors. Putting food in the freezer, making a little extra money, cutting firewood, building something, those are all great reasons. But I think it's a good and right thing to have ways to help with those memories of the things we do, such as photos or writing stuff down or videotaping what we do. Those efforts can be purely personal, shared within a family, or simply kept to oneself. Or they can have instructional value for others. If you feel so led, find a way to augment the actual experiences for yourself or even for others. But, as always, the main thing is just to get outdoors. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.